We're starting with Daf Lamed Gimel. Kavash v'sholach shlomi das bailim. What happens if you do these pickled or undercooked activities without the knowledge of the owner? So what would be then? I imagine these are just examples. I guess anything that we had salting before, and we had what else is there? Let's suppose I took your stuff and put it in a chutzner. I mean, any of the acts that I do without the owner's knowledge. So the Gemara says, right? So is it going to create the tevel process or not? Midrabanan. So tifluk to Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Lakish. So the Gemara says machlokes. They argued. Here we're talking about the basic act of smoothing off the pile, which is the classic Kamar Malach. But let's suppose I do that to your pile, and you don't have a choice. I do it for you. Rabbi Yochanan Manitbal, it's tevel. It's not tevel. So what I was trying to say, that it's totally in the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, according to Rabbi Yochanan, cooking it would make it tevel, and according to Rish Lakish, it would not make it tevel. That the Gemara is trying to be told the machlokes one and the other. The Gemara is daich on the
Raya. What is it based on?
What is what based on? What's the underlying machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish by making a pile?
Right. Somebody else has the power over myself.
I don't know offhand. One would think that Gemara Malacha can only be established by the owner. That's what one would think, right? So let me ask you this. Let's suppose I have some fruit and it hasn't been hukshar l'gabotumah, and the owner doesn't want it to get wet, and I take his stuff and I put water over it. So you're gonna say, well, is it hukshar l'gabotumah because you're not the owner? It says Lutzono.
Right, but the reality is.
But the reality is, it is wet.
Wet.
It's wet.
And here, the action of the
ruach. But it specifically has to have the owner's.
The das balim.
Yes, the one.
If there's no das balim,
the activity reveals your intent.
Right.
Right.
It's not gemar malach.
Right.
Okay, so these are all good questions. Amar Rabbi Yudin, Tamon Efshalo Shalich Bosh. It's no comparison. Why? It's possible you don't have to pickle something. You don't have to cook something. Things go without being pickled, and they're just fine. Especially if you don't like half sour, you'll eat a cucumber without pickling it. Anyway, when it comes to smoothing it all out, that's every pile of tefillah is going to have this act of smoothing. So I'm accelerating the inevitable, so to speak, right? So there's no comparison. Okay?
Everybody wants their pile to be smooth, but not everybody wants their food to be pickled.
Exactly. Or it's I don't know if it's a question of rotzon per se. I mean, it could be even if the owner wants to cook this thing, but the fact is he didn't do it. I don't know. All grain goes through that process. That's what it says here in 3. Second line, right? All grain goes through that process. Thus, it can be assumed the owner is pleased with the Gemara Malacha. I guess you're right. It's a question of being pleased with it. So we can't assume the pickling process he's pleased with. Okay. The Rambam he brings over here in the second paragraph holds that his argument is not accepted. And in fact, he is told that one and the other. So Rambam holds, he's an apostle like Rabbi Yochanan, so it is going to become tevel, and therefore I guess he'll follow through and say that if someone pickles, right, if someone pickles someone else's thing, it will make it into tevel. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on. Shloko b'rishus ha-hekdash. We're going to have a bunch of complex cases over here. We're going to follow along here closely. it gets a little confusing if you don't follow it. Shloko b'rishos ha-hektish. If you undercooked it while it was in the rishos of hektish, pado, then you redeemed it. V'chniso l'chatzar beis hashmira. And then you brought it into a chatzar which is guarded. Mahu, what's the din? Does it become tevel in that case? In other words, the rule is that if you had Gemar Malacha done while it was owned by Hekdesh, it will not become subject to tithing subsequently ever, because at the time of the Gemar Malacha, it was Hekdesh. So the question is, well, what about if you did one of the Drabonons, then you were poded, and then you brought it into the Chatzar, so that the Chatzar is already a higher level. The Gemara says, indeed, that it is. Al Daita Rish Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, we just said yesterday, remember, that it's Mechobe Shuba Kulon, right? He holds that the bringing it into the Chatzar is a Din Dor Raisa. So therefore, Zu Torah, Vizu Eino Torah, it's Nitbal, because the act that was done while it was Hektish is not Torah. That was just Shloko. That's just a Drabonon. Mashenkin, after you're Paidet, you did it in the Araisa, and therefore it will be Nitba. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the assumption is, and I didn't understand this the first time I read it, but when I read the footnote, it became obvious that's the way he understood it. Therefore, by implication, what would Rabbi Yochanan hold? The Gemara doesn't speak out Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara just speaks out Rish Lakish. That Rish Lakish holds that putting into the chatzar is d'oraisa, so therefore if you do the chatzar after you're poyed from Hektish, it will be nitba. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that both are equal, they're both, the shlako is drabanan, and hechnisu lo chatzar is drabanan, what will be the din? By the implication is that it will not be nitba.
You're assuming is that these cases are parallel. The machlokes, whatever the svara of that machlokes was, it applies to all these cases.
Well, all right. That's what we're assuming. Okay? Hechniso lechatzar beis shmira. Now let's go to the second question. On 33a2 now. Hechniso lechatzar beis shmira. Now, let's suppose while it was hektish, you brought it into the chatzar. So now you're doing the din d'oraisa while it was hektish, right? Pidoyo, then you redeem it. Ushalako, and then you cook it. Maho, what's the din here? The Gemara says, "Diri akol nitbal." Everybody holds it becomes tevel here, right? Because so what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says this far: v'chima osa meiser b'shus ha-hektish. Because there's no physical change that happened to the food while it was in hektish's thing. In other words, if you cook something, so by the act of cooking something causes a chemical change, a physical change, and that indicates gemar. Masha Enkeg, just bringing it into a backyard, it's
smoothing it out doesn't change it. It's a sign.
No. You're getting me wrong. You're not getting me wrong. I'm not arguing on the basic idea of what's considered Gemara Malacha. Of course, the Chatzar is the Oraisa. It's the highest level.
Okay.
But the Gemara is saying that the fact that it was brought into the Chatzar doesn't show the Gemara Malacha when you compare it to the shlika. Because shlika, you make a change. It's not. In other words, we're kind of like moving away from the d'oraisa d'rabbanan. The way it's explained here, the Chazon Ish explains it with a svara over here. If you take a look in footnote 8, paragraph 3, the Chazon Ish says a svara like this. The svara, he says, just going to tell you outside, the svara is that when I bring my tefuah into my chotzer, I'm done. That's it. You know, this is the place where I'm going to eat it. This is the place I'm going to make my cookout and invite the family. This is the end of the line. That makes sense if I'm the owner. But if I'm hektish, it's not for my, you know, it's not for themselves. It doesn't indicate anything. There's no significance to the moving it from one place to another place. So there's no svara. That's what he says.
In the first two lines in 8, he explains it. He says, says only an action that changes the physical state of the produce is considered a tevel exempting action when done in the domain of hankdesh. So just moving it is, doesn't do anything to the
right.
stuff.
Right. And the question is why? Why is that significant?
That's what the
Chazon Ish is trying to explain over here on a deeper level, right? It's because the completion of the harvest represents the pinnacle of the owner's rejoicing in his produce. This cannot be said when the produce is under the jurisdiction of Hekdesh, and the act of bringing it into the courtyard is meaningless. Okay. Anyway, that's what it says over here. Okay, fine. So again, so okay, third question. Hekdisho Ushalako. Let's see, he made it hektish, I'm just gonna say cooked it every time. I don't, even though whenever I say cooked, I mean undercooked, but I'm not gonna bother with the under part, okay? So hektisho ushalako. So you make it hektish and then you cook it. Hekniso, by the way, before I go on, everybody saw what I posted yesterday? Because we had a question, remember, what it means when you say you heated it up? And I posted a picture of Reb Chaim's Derech Emunah. Did everybody look at it?
I saw it.
Okay. I don't hear anybody else shaking their head except for Dov.
I saw it, but I didn't really look at it close.
How about reading what I wrote?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Let me see if it's right there.
You know something, Shavsi, you're gonna have to upgrade to the 80s.
I just said that before the shiur to Reb Shavsi. He said no.
Anyway, Reb Chaim writes over there that when it says fire, it means he raises it up to the temperature of Yatzo Lenisbo. That's all you have to do. We were clearing, does it have to be Michael Ben Drusoy? Not Michael Ben Drusoy. It's totally not Michael Ben Drusoy. All you got to do is make it Yatzo Lenisbo, and you're done. That's enough to make it kavua. That's what it says.
Even if it's not cooked at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so it's that temperature.
Uh-huh. And he learned it from the Yerushalmi that we saw yesterday. Okay. Let's go on. Hikdisho ushlako. So he went ahead, he made a hektish, and he cooked it. Hikniso lechatzar v'esa shmira. Then he brings it into the courtyard. Now he's still hektish, okay? So he did two things. He cooked it and he brought it into the chatzar and it's in hektish as rishos. Now you're podet, right? Podol. Ushalako, and then you undercook it again. Like how many times can you undercook something, right?
No, sometimes he translates shloka with undercooked, sometimes he
And in our Gemara he keeps doing undercooked. So what is the law? I just want you to know, you know, L'chaira, I would say, if it really meant cooked, why wouldn't you apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achabishul? I mean, I don't know. I don't think you can apply Ein Undercook Achar Undercook.
He says Machal Ben Dorsai.
He does?
Yeah. The first Shlika.
The first Shlika, Machal Ben Dorsai, and the second one makes it Roy Lachilo.
Right.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So it's... The process, I guess, is parallel in terms of the timing because Machal Ben Dorsai takes X amount of time, and then the process from that point to the Roy Lachilo.
Yeah, well, it depends if you hold like the Rambam or Rashi. It's Machlokes whether Machal Ben Dorsai is Shlish or Chatzi. So if it's Chatzi, then it's another Chatzi. But if it's Shlish, then it's 2/3 more to go. Okay. Anyway, so. How do we learn this, Shaila? 9. In this case, there's a reason to rule it's exempt from future tevel prohibition, for although merely bringing it into the courtyard without physically changing is not sufficient, but in this case it was also cooked, which does change its physical state. So, there's a big. So the Gemara says, "Deviakol nitbal." Everybody holds it does become tevel, although we learned that if it's cooked, it's shielded. Here, not. Why? Because subsequently taking the produce into the courtyard, you see, he did. That's what he did. He was shloko, and then he brought it into the courtyard. So making the court, bringing it into the courtyard, made things worse. Why? He demonstrated that he did not intend for the cooking to be the final act. right? Rather, he gave the significance of having been brought into the courtyard and thus negated the earlier tevel significant act of cooking. So if, in other words, if he would have just cooked it while it was hektish, and then I would have redeemed it, then it would no longer be nitpal, because the Gemara Malacha was in Rishus Hektish. But because Hektish first cooked it and then brought it into the backyard Hava negates the previous cooking. That's what he says. Now, the Gra doesn't hold like that. The Gra holds that you change the Gersa to, instead of Diri HaKol Nitbal, he changes the Gersa to Diri HaKol Lo Nitbal. So it's quite radical. Anyway, there's a summary there, which I'm not going to read right now. Okay? Sorry. We're going to 33b. Pidayo v'tzimko mahu. So now, what about... Here we're talking about... There's a lot not found here in the text. So in number one, he says what's happening is he cooked grapes while they were hektish. Then he redeemed them. Then he left them out to dry. And then the Chazon Ish seems to indicate, and then he's going to cook them again. It's kind of weird over here, but let's just work it out before we get to the Chazon Ish. So it says he cooked it while it was hektish. Then he redeemed it. Then the Gemara picks up the Tzimko.
Where does it say he cooked it first?
It doesn't say it in the Gemara. It says it in footnote 1. I don't know how he knows it. I didn't look. Yeah, actually, it's Mara Fulda has it over there at the top line, if you look at it. Okay, well, he has it this way. This is the Mepharshim explain this. So you're first cooking it, then you redeem it, then you dry it. So since he planned to dry the grapes, so it comes out the act of cooking was not the final step. In other words, the question, this is really going to a core question, which is, does the act of the Shisha Dvarim, do they create an act of Gemar Malacha on something which is loy nigmar malachto? I shouldn't call it Gemar Malacha, I should call it, does it create a din of tevel on something which is loy nigmar malachto? That's the issue. So they cooked it when it was hektish. Normally that would be enough. But by going ahead and designating these things after I potter them for raisins, now it's completely not nigmar malachto. So You jump the gun cooking it. Again, this is like an act. It's very similar to before. I'm undoing the previous Gemar Malach. Okay? If you follow the pattern here, before we were talking about where you were undoing it while it was Mishos Hektish. Now we're talking about undoing it after you were Podet. So you see there's a little pattern here, the way the Gemar is, you know, following these questions.
Making it into raisins uncooks?
It undoes the cooking. It can't be a final act if you still have to dry it on the roof. It won't be done until you have raisins. That's pasha, right? Raisins is the final. That's the final product. Yeah. We've said this many times that if you want to bring it up to dry it out as raisins, then it's lo nigmar malacha until it's dried out. Yeah. So here he's undoing the hektish gemar after he's poured it. So in Tamar, the Gemara says, in Tamar ha'or tovel, if you hold, fire can take unprocessed food and make it into tevel. So then here too, the fact that hektish made it that way will make it tevel. And if you hold, in ha'or tovel, in ha'or poter. So it's totally in that shaila la'halacha does or make something tevel if it's not nigmar malachta. Rabbi Yirmi Abayi, tigno basada mahu. What about if you fried produce with oil in the field? The Gemara says, below kach in hor tovel, does the fire not render the produce tevel? Why would frying be different than cooking? The Gemara says that the reason why I'm asking the question is if you're not talking about frying with oil, like we just said, rather, the question is, what would be if you did not put oil in it and you fry it? He says here it was edible without frying it. Is the frying still considered significant? That question is left unresolved. Rabbi Yosef Shem Kanam, Rabbi Yaina, Rabbi Palafta Ben Shaul, also Hesach, hasav asara toivel, imlo hasav ena toivel. If you go ahead and you recline in the field, so reclining, if a person reclines, remember, whenever we say you're allowed to eat in the field, we said you're allowed to eat achilas arai. If you're reclining, that's no longer arai. That's considered kavua. Okay, so that might explain why kulon u'mesubin on the night of Pesach, because we're supposed to have a kfias. We're not supposed to be, not being kavua. I don't know. Sounds like the opposite of masnechem chagurim. Right, the pasuk seems to indicate a certain kipazon, which is not so kavua.
Yeah, but
I guess that was only Pesach Mitzrayim, right?
Yeah.
That's the kesher
of the
Pesach Sheni.
Yeah. Baruch Hashem, we had a connection.
It's coming.
Very good.
A couple minutes.
So the Gemara says it's tali. If you're leaning in this field, it is tivel. If not, it's not tivel. And the Gemara qualifies when Haseba is Toivo. Not always. You have to be drinking some wine with that Haseba. In Hasev, who Toivo call Hasev Shesh by Yayin. When is it considered if you have wine? But if you don't have wine, then it's not enough. Okay? Kots of a Hasev Lai Hasev. What if you prepare to recline, but you didn't end up reclining? Is the fact that you're going to, like you prepared your chair with a pillow on it, like you do on Pesach night. That is unresolved. Next, 33b2. Tony Hashum ba shachalayim ba chardol sheshachokon ba soda. All the cress and mustard that were ground in the field, nitbalu, they are rendered tevel. So, the Gemara says the following. Okay, is there something to say here? It's a question of. There's a whole complex thing here in 7. Normally, Gemara Melacha requires making it into a pile. Here, you don't seem to make it into a pile. So, he has a couple of different mahalchim here. I'm going to pick one over here, the alternatively. The Braisa can be referring to produce that are already undergone the Gemara Melacha by being piled into a heap, but the plans are to bring it into the house, and therefore it's not Gemara Melacha. It teaches us that grinding it into oil establishes as tevel, like the 6 events that we've mentioned above. Okay, so that's what I'm going to learn now, just for convenience sake.
So that's the 7th.
What?
That's the 7th way of...
That's what they ask. And why it wasn't included in the 6th? Yeah. The answer is because it's only true by these foods. The 6 are listed because it's true across the board. This one, it's true only by these 3 foods, and therefore it wasn't included. That's the answer that he says on the bottom.
So if you were to do this with some other food, it would not become tevel.
Correct. An kedom b'shom shel tevel sheshchoko b'shem shel chulin. It's only over here where it goes into, you had tevel, you go into chulin oil. What if it's the other way around? Shom shel chulin, you had garlic of chulin, and you ground it into a utensil of tevel oil. Do you say the oil is rendered tevel or not? What do you mean? Do you say the oil is rendered tevel? That's not what I was expecting. Why does he say that? This doesn't make sense. Hold on one second. Doesn't it sound backwards?
No, because the shum, the garlic is chulin.
The garlic is chulin.
And the
shaman is tevel.
Right.
So he says over here, the word tevel, okay, 8 over here. I forgot to read 8. 8, it says, the word tevel here in the next clause does not mean produce that was established as tevel, but produce that was not tithed. Okay, that's an important difference. So the oil was already. One second.
Are we flavoring the oil?
Hold on one second. I'm getting mixed up over here. Shum shel chulin, shchoko b'shemen shel tevel. Do we say that the oil is rendered tevel or not? As a secondary ingredient, perhaps oil cannot be considered to will have achieved significance through reaching completion and is not rendered tevel as an act. Okay, I'm having trouble here because the tevel word is being used two different ways here in the statement. So it means when we're reading the text of the Gemara, tevel means it hasn't had meiser taken from it. Right? So putting it in, I'm going to have to leave this alone because we got to keep moving. I'm a little confused about this one. If you took a cluster of grapes and you squeezed it into a cup to drink, the juice nitbal becomes tevel because it's an empty cup, and an empty cup with wine collecting in it, so it's like a mini cistern. Latamkoi, when it's to a platter, lo nitbal, it doesn't become tevel because that's already, it's not considered formal matter of consumption. If you skim wine into a pot of cooked food, it's exempt. So the Gemara asks, we mentioned this question in the Mishnah, below kach ein ho or tovel. Who cares about whether it's been skimmed or not? The fact that it's becoming heated up, should the heat by itself should make it into tevel. So who cares about the skimming? That's the Gemara's question. The answer is, Tiftor, you have to answer. It's talking about where the cooked food is already cold. Cold food does not cook the wine, so the wine remains permitted for casual consumption. This Gemara will be a shekel riot to the question, the shiloh we were just talking about. You see, the Gemara doesn't say that it did not reach a certain temperature of you see, just the Gemara is, you see that just reaching the temperature of being hot is enough to be considered the kviyas over here. Lakadei rachayev, skimming wine in a pot, you are obligated. Amar blaz, like there rekonas himasisa. We're talking about an empty pot, obviously. And the Gemara is going to follow it up on lamed dalet. It's masisa amar ken. It's referish in the Mishnah. Chamakapal latashol patu lakadei rachayev. If you go ahead and you skim off the cooked food, you're exempt. But if it's in a pot, you are obligated. Neshu kabor cotton. It's like a small cistern, meaning it's a little empty pot. That's why it's like a cistern. So if it's like a cistern, then it becomes like Nigma Blachto. Okay. Lamed Dalet. I'd count off Lamed Gimel.